You know, dealing scripturally with the family can invoke a myriad of emotions. I recognize today that not every individual sitting in this room has the same upbringing or the same family experience. I recognize behind all of our faces could be a variety of different family backgrounds. When you think about your parents, some of you reflect on your parents and your childhood, and you do so with love and warm memories. Even those of you who have lost a parent and you know that they're in heaven today, you think about that upbringing, that childhood, and your heart just fills with warm memories, thankful that you had a mom or dad, both that loved you and cared for you. I do believe there's many of us that feel that way. I honestly can stand here reflecting on my family today, and it's filled with love and memories, warm memories. I recognize as well that some of you reflect on your parents and your childhood, your upbringing. And maybe it's a little different emotion. Reflecting on your parents, you maybe feel with anger. Maybe thinking about your upbringing and maybe what you felt like you should have experienced or what your parents may have done or not done for you. When you think about family, when you think about mom and dad and the things that you went through, maybe even as a child, even now, even as an adult. It's not love. It's not warm memories. As a matter of fact, it's resentment. A lot of anger. And then there's many of us right now that are just exhausted. I mean, we're not necessarily thinking about our parents and our childhood and our upbringing. I mean, we're thinking about the day. We're exhausted. We're frustrated. We're even devastated at the actions and choices of our very own children. I think all of us fit in one of these categories. So believe me when I say that in dealing with the family, I do understand the complexity of our various situations. I also understand that in examining the complexity of all of our situations, that the Bible is our unchanging instruction manual for all areas of life, regardless of our family circumstances. What the Bible teaches us about the family does not change just because you had dishonorable parents. The Bible teaches us about how we raise our children does not change because you might have a strong-willed child. You see, no matter what the circumstances of our family has been and what the situation of our family is today, the Bible is our manual. It is our guidebook. It is unchanging, and it tells us exactly how we are to live inside of the family that God has instituted. And when we look at this command, honoring thy father and thy mother, there are two glaring aspects of this verse that I think needs to be brought to our attention as we study the fifth commandment. I think in understanding these two aspects, it's going to help you piece all together what God is saying to us. And I want to go ahead right now and give you this first one, because some of you are thinking right away, finally, my kids need to hear a message about honoring me. I think you'd be a little surprised about what direction we go today. Because here's the first aspect, and these are not in your notes, but I do want to encourage you to write these two statements down. This is very important. Here's the first statement. You are always someone's child. Always. So I'm not necessarily talking to the 6, 7, 8-year-olds, 10, 11, 12-year-olds, 15, 16, 17-year-olds, maybe the young adults. I'm talking to the 50s, the 60s. We are always someone's child. And I think sometimes when we read this commandment, we quote it, we study verses like this, such as the one in Ephesians, where it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We think that God gave this just for those who are 18 years and younger. But the command is for everyone. For we are always someone's child. Even if your parents don't live anymore and they're in heaven, you are always someone's child. And so this means two things. Number one, for a child, it means that we are to be respectful. We are to be obedient. I honor my parents, and I'm to be respectful to my parents. I'm to be obedient to my parents. And I think it somewhat means the same for an adult. A little different. For a child, the focus is on obedience. But for an adult, the focus is on being respectful, being gracious to your parents, being caring toward your parents. So whether you're a child or an adult, you are always someone's child, regardless of your age. And so the command is not just meant for your stubborn 10-year-old that you hope gets the message this morning. No, this is meant for all of us because we are always someone's child. Here's the second aspect of this verse I think is very important to remember. And this is where it's going to really hit home. Number two, there's no exception clause. It's hard. Because some of you are fine with that statement when you think about the love and warm memories of your parents. The others of you are really fighting some emotional struggles right now because you don't have love and warm memories. Your parents hurt you. You went through difficult things, and so your desire is to find some type of exception. How should I honor parents who have mistreated me? Why should I honor a dad who mistreated me, a mom who has been dishonorable? Listen to me, it's very important. This command is still relevant even if you have terrible parents. The command is still relevant even if you have terrible parents. And so before we dive into it, you need to understand those two things. You are always, number one, someone's child or someone's in-law, son-in-law, daughter-in-law. I think it goes all the way around, by the way. Doesn't just imply that we honor our blood, mom and daddy. I think it goes all the way around. There are always someone's child. Number two, there's no exception clause. We're to honor them regardless of what they may have or have not done. So I'd like to unlock for us several principles from this fifth commandment that I think we can learn today that God wants to teach us. Here's the first one there in your notes, and you'll find this on the screen. Number one, this command reinforces the biblical institution of a family. This command, first of all, reinforces the biblical institution of a family. And what is that? A father and a mother. A father and a mother. Look with me here at verse number 12. Don't miss this. He says, honor thy father and thy mother. It doesn't say honor thy mother and thy mother. Honor thy father and thy father. Listen, I'm not trying to be political. I'm just trying to stay biblical. And no matter what culture may does, God will always define a family between a mom and a dad. He always will. And I wish we still lived in a country where we abided by the principles of we the people. We actually did things that we voted on. But our culture is quickly changing, which simply means Jesus is soon coming. And the point that I'm trying to make to you is I know this is not popular to preach. I know it's not going to be paraded today that marriage is one man and one woman for one lifetime. But the principle is true. You cannot read this commandment without seeing what a family looks like. A mom and a dad. And so when you look at this, it defines what a family should look like. I was doing a little bit of study because I remember this coming out when I was a kid in 1989. Some of you will remember this. The LGBT community published a children's book. And the children's book was entitled Heather Has Two Mommies. And the purpose of the book was to use for the gay community so they could teach children of same-sex partners how to understand the family dynamic in the LGBT community. Since then, of course, that was written in 1989, but in 2004, similarly, another children's book came out that you can often see passed out in the schools that your kids attend. And the libraries that they go check out books because they want this enforced. Well, they won't pass out the Bible, but they'll pass out a book that says Heather has two mommies or one dad, two dads. And the purpose of it is to help our culture to accept what our culture wants to define as a family. It doesn't matter what our culture wants to define as a family. It's what God has defined, and that's between a mom and a dad, a husband and a wife. I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but you cannot read the fifth commandment without understanding what a family should look like. What a family should look like. But then you go on, you see it not only defines what a family should look like, but it also gives this ideally. Now ideally is the emphasis here. Ideally how a family should operate. Okay? It shows us what a family should look like, a mom and a dad, but it also shows us how a family ideally should operate a mom and a dad. I completely understand that I'm speaking to some who are single moms today. I realize that sitting in an auditorium are some single dads. I recognize that in our world there's going to be, since the days and teachings of Christ, there are going to be widows. There are going to be divorces. I understand that. And sadly, we are going to have in our society men who move on to another girlfriend without taking responsibility for a child that they've helped brought into the world. That's another problem with our culture. We want pleasure without responsibility. So a man goes seeking for pleasure, but then when comes from it, he doesn't like, he moves on to something else. And the result of it is we've got a lot of kids growing up in homes that just have a mom and just have a dad. So it's not ideally the way that God wants us to operate. Now listen to me, I'm not preaching at you for this. I'm not preaching against these things. I'm just helping us understand the context of the commandment. Because my heart goes out to those who are single moms and single dads and divorced and widow. And our church family wants to help you. We long to help you be the best parent that you can be in the situation that you're in. If you're a single mom and you have one kids or 12 kids, we want to help you parent those kids. That's why this church exists. If you're a single dad or you're widowed or divorced, we're not preaching against you. We're not excluding you. We're just here to simply say we want to help you be the best parent you can be in the situation that you're in. Because James tells us, write this verse down, James 1:27 tells us that pure religion, if you want to tell whether or not you truly are a Christian, it's whether or not you care for the fatherless. That's those who are single, those who are divorced, those who are widowed. Do you reach out to those who don't have both a father figure and a mother figure in their home? And some of us men need to take recognition of that. I know some of you already got kids that are older and out of the house, but we have some single moms and single dads in our church that need you to just come help them. That's pure religion. That's sincere faith. The Bible says sincere faith is those who look out for the widows and look out for the fatherless, those who do not live in the idea situation, a mom and a dad. And we have that all around us. So I understand that here. I understand what I'm saying. However, listen to me. Those who are married with children need to take responsibilities for their roles as both a father and a mother in parenting. It tells us how a family should operate. Some of you are sitting back and you're thinking, well, thank the Lord my wife hadn't left me. But thank the Lord my husband hadn't left. Well, as much as you work, as much as you stay away from your family, it's as if they're fatherless. As much as you let mom do all the parenting and mom do all the discipline or dad do all the parenting and dad do all the... It's as if there's just this one parent raising there. Listen to me. It takes two to raise a child. Ideally it does. A father and a mother. A father and a mother. It's teamwork, and that's the implication here. It tells us not only what a family should look like, it tells us how a family ought to operate. And so if you miss anything else from this first point, understand that, hey, if you're married today and your husband is still with you, or your wife's still with you, or whatever your situation may be, understand that, hey, God has given us this context to work as a team, as partners, to raise these kids to the honor and glory of God. Here's the second thing I want you to see. Number one, not only does this command reinforce the biblical institution of a family, what it should look like, how it should operate, a mom and a dad. But number two, when it comes to honoring parents, you can't play favorites. Well, that's the second principle I see here. Now, by the way, I'm not necessarily talking about moms and dads having favorite children yet. We'll get to that in a moment. I'm talking to you adult children. You adult children, if you want to honor your parents in your adult years, you cannot play favorites. You can't. And then look at the command again in verse number 12. Notice what it says. Honor thy father and thy mother. Honor thy father and thy mother. It does not say honor thy father or thy mother. I think that's how we think sometimes. Well, I'm a pretty good kid. I honor my mom. No. Do you honor mom and dad? Well, you don't know what my dad is. I understand that. I recognize that. But biblical honor, I mean, respecting, being gracious, caring. God says we're not just to care for mom, we're to care for dad too. We're not just to respect dad, we're to respect mom too. The commandment involves not playing favorites. We honor both father and mother. Now, I'll go on to say that this does work both ways. Because one of the most dangerous things a parent could do is play favorites with their children. And some of you grew up in homes like that. I mean, some of you grew up in a home like ours where I was the chosen one. I was the favorite. You'll find out in more than one place in the Bible, that things didn't work out too well for those parents who played favorites. Ask Joseph about that one. You just go back and study the book of Genesis, mom and dad, and you'll find out that families were destroyed when mom and dad played favorites with their kids. It's dangerous. But neither are children to play favorites with their parents. But that's usually what happens. Parents play favorites with their kids, and in return, their kids play favorites with them. Mom shows a little bit more attention to one, and so when she gets older, she shows a little bit more attention to mom. And so the cycle just continues to go. And I'm just here to reemphasize to you that it is not right for you to honor one and not the other. Biblically, it's not right. Without the exception clauses, because there are none, regardless of the relationship, regardless of what has been done, God says you are to honor both father and mother. And I think that applies more to the adult children than it does to the kids. Honoring both, mom and dad. I think one of the ways we teach our children to honor both mom and dad is whether or not we parent as a team. Or do we parent as individuals? The Lord is really teaching my wife and I this. We're learning through it. We're growing. We're learning from you. We're growing with you. It's so important that to help our kids grow up as adults who honor both mom and dad, that we begin right now in the home parenting as a team, both mom and dad. Let me give you just two dangerous ways for you as a parent to lead your children to honor only you and not your spouse. Some of you are doing these things. And if you're not careful because you're doing these things, you're teaching your children to honor one and not the other. They honor mom, but they don't honor dad. They honor dad, but they don't honor mom. Let me just give you two practical things to think about. Number one, I don't think these are in your notes, but please write them down. Number one, only have one parent correct disobedience. Only have one parent correct disobedience. And the implication here is if you want your kids to play favorites. If you want your kids to play favorites, honoring one over the other, then only have one parent in your home correct disobedience. I recently read this in an article on parenting, and it's really changed my perspective. But let me explain. Let's say there's a dad in here today. He's worked all week, worked all day particularly. Let's just pick a single day. There's a dad, he's worked all day. And let's say that his wife has three or four kids, and she's a stay-at-home mom, which I think should be glorified as any other executive job that a woman may hold. And let's just say that mom stayed home all day with the kids. Dad's worked all day. He's been gone since 6. He probably doesn't get in till 6. And the kids have just been brutal all day long. Brutally disobedient, dishonoring to mom. And let's just say for a moment, because all of us have heard it, if not all of us have said it, in a moment of exasperation, let's just say that mom looks at those three or four children and says, "Wait until your father gets home." Right. Now that usually comes from the standpoint, dad's been gone all day, mom's been home all day, she's pulling her hair out, frustrated, not sure how to get them to obey, and all of a sudden we say, wait till your dad gets home. You know what we're saying? I know you don't honor me, so wait till the one you honor gets home. That really hit home when I thought about that. Because we've done that. Now, I do think that when it comes to discipline, there are sometimes you need to wait till both parents can discipline together. I understand that. But sometimes by the things that we say, we're saying, hey, I recognize, son or daughter, that you don't obey me and that you don't respect me, so I'm going to wait till the one who does get home, whether it's mom or dad, to enforce this discipline on you. And what we're doing is, we're teaching our kids to honor one parent and not the other. Be careful. Be careful. Because as those kids get older and they play favorites between mom and dad, it could be because we not necessarily work together as a team when it came to disciplining them at home. Here's the second dangerous thing that you could do. The first one is only have one parent correct disobedience. The second thing you can do, if you want your kids to play favorites, if you want your kids to play favorites as a child and when they get as an adult, then number two, keep secrets with your children from your spouse. Keep secrets with your children from your spouse. Can I tell you that this is probably one of the most damaging things that we deal with in ministry when it comes to parenting? Dealing with families who come to us in difficult moments, not wanting the husband or not wanting the wife to know what their kid has done. I'm trying to help you today. Because letting your child know that you keep things from your spouse diminishes honor in their heart towards your husband or towards your wife. And some of us have been guilty. I think it's dangerous to tell your child, we won't tell your mother. I think that's very dangerous. Now, whether you decide to or not, that's between you and God. But actually telling your child, hey, I know you got in trouble for this. I know you did this. Let's just keep this between us. Let's not tell dad. Then what you're saying is, you honor me more than you honor your dad. And I want you to honor me more than you honor your mom. And all of a sudden, when they grow up as children, they become teens. No wonder they're running here and there, hiding things from us. We're finding them out the hard way. And then when we do find them out, we come and say, hey, how about do me a favor? Don't tell their mother what they did. I've seen it as far as moms confiding in their children, about the marital problems between her and their father. I'm talking about dangerous things here. Dangerous things when you as a mom would take your 15, 16, 17-year-old kid and say, I just wish your father, I wish your dad would change some things. We're teaching our kids to honor one and not the other. All I'm trying to say to you this morning is your children need to know that mom and dad speak the same voice. The same voice. What dad feels is what mom feels. What mom feels is what dad feels. We're not going to have one voice over the other or one voice under the other. We speak the same thing. You said it. Kate is learning now how to play each other, mom and dad. She's learning that. You say it to your children. We say it to our children. Whatever mom says, whatever dad says, right? And so when she wants one of my candy corns or candy pumpkins, right, she'll come to me and she'll say, Dad, can I have a candy corn? Can I have a pumpkin? Not right now. We're getting ready to eat supper. And then she'll tiptoe around the kitchen and find mom. And Mom, can I have a candy corn? Can I have a candy pumpkin? And you know how it goes. What'd your dad say? What'd your dad say? We speak the same voice. We're on the same team. And that's what your children need to know. You want to help them honor you when you get older. Do you want some of you to go to a nursing home or do you want some of you to rot and die in your bedroom, all right? What do you want? depends on how you teach kids to honor you. All right? It's dangerous. Dangerous. And remember this, Mom and Dad. I'm going to move on. Remember this. If Dad honors Mom and Mom honors Dad, the children will grow to honor their parents. If Dad honors Mom and Mom honors Dad, then children will grow to honor their parents. If you disrespect and dishonor your husband, ladies, what do you think your children are going to do to their father? They're going to disrespect and dishonor him. If you disrespect and dishonor your wife, fellas, and belittle her, what do you think your children are going to do? They're going to belittle her. They're going to dishonor her. They're going to disrespect her. Listen, we need to set a precedence of honor in the home, and it begins with how Mom and Dad honor each other. So adult, child, or not, it is not biblically acceptable for you to play favorites with your parents. God requires you to honor father and mother. It would do some of you good to underline that word "and" in verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thy mother. Number three. As we continue learning from this command, here's the third principle that I see. And this is where it gets really hard. I am to honor my parents even when they are dishonorable. That's tough. I'm to honor my parents even when they are dishonorable. Well, let's be honest. This is where we really struggle, isn't it? Maybe not those of you who think of your upbringing and you have warm, fuzzy, loving memories, but those of you who have anger right now just thinking about your mom and dad. Those of you who have built resentment because of your upbringing, you, like many others, are thinking, how on earth can I honor my mom, or how on earth can I honor my dad, whose life and actions have been anything but honorable? I think this is the challenge. That's the challenge, because the command gives no exceptions. No exceptions. It doesn't say honor your parents only if they love Jesus. It doesn't say honor your parents only if they don't mistreat you. It doesn't say honor your parents only if they did everything right. No, it says honor thy father and thy mother, period. No exceptions. Honor your father and your mother, period. Now, here's where I want to help you. How do we do that, Pastor? How do we do that? How do we honor a mom and dad that's been dishonorable? Can I give you just some biblical principles to think about? Five of them. Here's the first one. You'll find these in your notes. Number one, don't create expectations that are unreasonable. Don't create expectations that are unreasonable for your mom and dad. I'm talking to the adults. Adults, don't create expectations that are unreasonable. You know what I'm talking about here? We're talking about here giving grace. Giving grace. Because sometimes in life, we often expect far more out of others than we expect out of ourselves. And some of us are having a hard time honoring mom and dad is because we expect them to be something that they cannot be. We've set expectations that they can't fulfill. Listen, I'm thankful when people give a little grace in my life. Living as a pastor, there's a lot of expectations. Expectations that are not biblical. Expectations of me and my family that are not fair. Some people demand it. They demand certain things out of a pastor or a pastor's wife or their children. I'll never forget one of the first times Kate got in trouble in the nursery. The nursery workers were shocked, even though she wasn't even a year old. They were shocked that the pastor's kid would act like that. Hey, they do. All right, they do. They're kids just like yours. Maybe worse. So what we do is we put these unreasonable expectations on people. And then when they don't fulfill it, we're standoffish. We're mad. We're upset. And some of you have done that to your parents. You've looked at how other parents are with their kids. And so you expect yours to be the same. And when they're not, they get angry. Disrespectful. distant. One of the things that will help you as an adult to honor your parents even when they've been dishonorable to you is don't put unreasonable expectations on them. Give grace because they fail just like you fail. Give grace because they have problems like you have problems. Why is it that we expect everyone else to be perfect but ourselves? Here's the second thing I think will help you. How do we honor dishonorable parents? Number two, remove bitterness by choosing to forgive them. Remove bitterness out of your life by choosing to forgive them. Listen, bitterness in any relationship is a cancer that rots the soul of the offended more than the offender. Some of the people that you're hacked off with this morning, they're sleeping at night because it don't bother them. But it bothers you a whole lot more because you've been hacked off at them for years. And then when you get together at Thanksgiving and they're happy-go-lucky, it makes you even more mad that they're not addressing the situation. No, the problem's not them. The problem is you won't forgive them. You're bitter because how your dad treated your mom. You're bitter how your mom walked out on your dad. And it's dictating how you treat both of them today. I'm thankful God forgives me when I'm a stupid idiot. And some of your parents have been that. Some of your parents have not thought about you when you were kids and made some dumb, selfish decisions. Listen to me, kids. Parents do that like you do that. But there has to come a time in our lives where we say, you know what? God doesn't hold my sin against me anymore. I'm not going to hold their sin against them. I may have to keep some distance, but I'm going to respect, I'm going to talk to them. Remove bitterness. I think children who choose bitterness tend to grow up to be just like their parents. Some of you don't like that. But some of you have said, I'll never be like her. I'll never be like my daddy. But because you won't forgive what your daddy's done, you're becoming just like him. And because you won't forgive what your mama did, you're becoming just like her. Hey, you want to fix all of it? Just forgive them. I know it hurts, but forgive them and help you and your family move on. Here's the third thing. Don't criticize or speak about their faults publicly. Don't criticize or speak about their faults publicly. It's one thing to discuss issues of hurt between you and your spouse alone. If there's things in our family that has occurred, my wife and I behind closed doors will discuss those and how we need to deal with it. Certain things should not be said in front of or to other people. And we can talk about this in any relationship. You don't run down your husband in front of your girlfriends. You don't run down your wife in front of other men, fellas. You don't run down your parents, mom and dad, in front of your children. Sure, there's some things that need to be discussed privately. There's some things that need to be talked about and barriers set up between you and your wife. But there's just some things that don't need to be done publicly. I think when we talk about things publicly to others, about how we were raised or how we were mistreated, in the end, we're bringing dishonor to them. And the Bible says we need to honor them. Here's the fourth thing. And here's what I want to help you understand. Exemplify what biblical parenting should be. Exemplify what biblical parenting should be. I hope this makes sense to you, but I think one of the greatest ways my kids, Kate and Keegan, could honor me is to be a better Christian than me. Does that make sense to you? I never understood my dad saying this, and I really not sure that I fully comprehend it now, but I think I'm getting there to how I understand it. My dad used to say about us and still says that I want my kids to go on and do more for God than I was able to do. I never really understand that. I don't know that I fully understand that or even believe that. But now that I have kids and I think about my walk with the Lord, I really do have aspirations that they become a better Christian than me. Doesn't mean I'm going to be slack. Doesn't mean I'm going to be slack. It's just I think one of the greatest ways that my kids can honor me is not to be a cookie cutter image of myself. But I think one of the greatest ways my kids can honor me is to become a better, be more faithful to God than I've been. Read their Bible more than I read my Bible. Have better walks with God than I have with God. And I think what we're saying here in this point is the same could be said of those who have dishonorable parents, because you can still honor them. If your parents have been dishonorable or are dishonorable today, you could still honor them by exemplifying what a biblical mom or dad should be. You're not throwing in your face. You're not saying, all right, you wasn't this to me, Dad, so I'm going to show my kid what a real dad. No, it's not throwing in her face. It's not being obnoxious about it. It's just saying, hey, I may not have had this growing up and I'm upset about it, but I'm going to forgive it and I'm going to determine right now that I'm going to be better than my parents were to me and I'm going to be the best that I can be for God right now in our home. I think one of the greatest ways you can honor your parents, even if they're lost today, even if they don't know God, even if they've been dishonorable to you, is to exemplify biblically what a family should be, what a family should look like. And then here's the fifth one. Find areas for which to be intentionally and specifically thankful. Thankful. You can't find anything for which to be thankful for. Or excuse me, if you can find anything for which to be thankful for, thank them for it. You may not can thank them for everything. I recognize that. But if there was just something that you look back on your childhood and say, yes, maybe my dad didn't spend time with me like I want to spend with my child, but at least he cared enough to put food on our table and he was a hard worker and he wasn't going to ever let us go without. That's something to be thankful for. So you may not can thank them for being the right kind of father who spent time with you, but you can say, hey, Dad, I just want to thank you for being a hard worker. Thank you never letting us go without when we were kids. Find something. Mind I can thank your mom for being a good Christian and modeling a good Christian life and bringing you to church with you. But there could be something. Find that something and thank them. Even if you think today my mom and dad are the biggest heathens this world has ever seen, there's something you can thank them for. You know what I've discovered? I've discovered that we can help our parents move toward being more honorable by honoring them in the ways that they are already honorable. So instead of trying to wait for them to meet our expectations in this area, why don't we go to them for the ways that they've already been a good mom and a good dad, an honorable parent, and say, hey, I'm not perfect, you're not perfect, but I want to say thank you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for providing for me. Thank you for being there for me. Intentionally, specifically find something to be thankful for and thank them. And I believe that will help you move toward honoring your parents even when they're dishonorable. Here's the final thing, number four. Now let me talk to you for just a moment. Number four. Determine to become a parent worthy of honor. You see, I went a totally different direction than you probably thought today. I knew some of you couldn't wait. I got to get my teenagers here. Pastor's going to rip their faces off. Adrian Rogers said, listen, I can't teach your children to honor you. That's your responsibility. The best thing I can do is to help you to become a mom or dad who is worthy of honor. Can't teach your kids to respect you. I'm your pastor, but I can't teach them to respect you. I can't teach them to honor you. That's your job. But I can help you as a mom, and I can help you as a dad to become the parent God wants you to be so your kids will honor you. You see, we need to live in such a way that our children desire to honor us. I remember growing up as a child, and even to this day as an adult, I remember and even know now that disappointing my parents utterly bothered me. It did. I'm sure I disappointed them a lot. There were several strong areas of weakness in my life. I hope I've matured through them. One of the areas was junior high and high school. I could care less about junior high and high school. I wanted to play basketball. I wanted to do things that are fun to do. I didn't care about my grades. And man, it wore all over my parents. I'm not as intelligent as my brother. My brother's never studied for a test in his life, but he's made the A honor roll every year of his life. Some of you are like that. Some of you are like me. You can study 20 hours in a 24-hour day, and the 4 hours you sleep with your textbooks underneath you, hoping that will help a little bit more. That's me. I'm that kid. But I didn't care, which made it worse. I really believe, and I've never asked him, but I think if I were to ask him what was one of the most difficult things for you as a child, I think it would say how I treated school when I was a kid. Because I remember getting in more trouble about my grades than anything. But even when that happened, I do remember how it just utterly disappointed me. My mom and dad to look me in the face with tears in their eyes, that really gets you. And to say, "You disappointed me," man, I would have rather him take that belt off and swing 20 more times than to tell me that I've disappointed him. You understand what I mean? It didn't mean I was perfect. I was far from it. But they lived their lives so honorable that it hurt me internally to discover that I'd let them down. My wife and I have had these conversations about both of our sets of parents. And that's what I'm trying to say here. Your kids aren't going to be perfect. There's going to be a lot of discipline. You know that. We all know that. If you halfway have sense in your head, you understand that they're not perfect. But live your life in such a way that even when they're not perfect, it bothers them to let you down. I think that's honor. How do we do that? Let me give you these things and we'll close. Number one, love them. Love them. Do I have to say it? I think I do. So I wonder sometimes, do we really express what true love is with our kids? By the way, that's not giving them what they want. Loving them is not giving them what they want. Loving them is spending time with them. Loving them is encouraging them. Loving them is telling them that you love them. Loving them is putting their arms around them, letting them know that nobody cares more for them in this life than you. You want your kids to honor you? Love them. Number two, lead them. Lead them. Your children are your responsibility. I don't believe how many times people come to our ministry and think that their kids are his responsibility. Our youth ministry is not built around what this man is going to lead your kids to be. It's built around him helping mom and dad lead their kids to be what God wants them to be. It's a youth ministry that involves parents. Because parents need to be involved in their youth. Lead them. They're your responsibility. They're not the school system's responsibility. They're not the church's responsibility. When your kids mess up, take ownership for it. It's your responsibility. Lead them to be who God wants them to be. That's why Ephesians tells us to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is your responsibility as mom and dad to lead your kids. Number three, limit them. Limit them. Isn't it interesting what the Bible says in 1 Samuel 3 and 13? I think this verse is in your notes. "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth because his sons made themselves vile." That's a problem. But here's the major problem. Look at the rest of it. "And Eli restrained them not." His kids made vile the house of God and Eli didn't discipline them. And forever and all generations, the judgment of God was upon their home because he did not limit his kids. Limit your kids. Be a parent worthy of honor. They need you to show them that. Limit them. I threw this one in here because I think this is the epitome of what my dad has tried to do in our home. Number four, laugh with them. Laugh with them. Some of you parents just need to lighten up and learn how to laugh with your kids. Everything doesn't have to be serious all the time. Everything doesn't have to be about all your rules and all your regulations. But some of your kids are legitimately scared of you. And when I say that, some of you are happy about it. Show me the Bible where it says your kids have to be legitimately scared of you. Oh. You want your kids to be close to you. And so here's what we do. We want our kids to be our best friends, and so we become their best friend instead of their parent. You know how you can become their best friend and be their parent? Be real. Have fun with them. Limit them, yes. Love them, lead them. But laugh with them. Make your home a place of joy. Make it a home, a place of fun. Don't be against everything. Don't be against the things that we enjoy as parents for our kids. Have fun. Let them do things that kids love to do. But you be there when it happens and you enjoy it with them. Laugh with them. Have fun with them. Some of you teach me this. You don't know it. I need to tell you more. I watch how Bob McGovern posts pictures on Facebook. I get on my wife's account. I'm one of those trolls that get on my wife's account and see what's going on. I do. I watch Bob post these pictures of him and his daughter going out flying planes together. Going to the playground together. Having lunch station. Bob, you teach me how to be a better dad. You do. All of you are that way. Watch how Felix loves to be around his kids. His kids don't love to be around him, but he loves to be around his kids. All of you. I think that's what he's saying here. Let's be parents who are worthy of honor. Enjoy your kids. Spend time with them. Laugh with them. I think all of this is so important at the end of the command because he gives us the benefit for obeying it. Look at verse 12 once more. Why should we honor mom and dad? That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That's pretty important, isn't it? You want to live long? Honor mom and dad. Paul said it like this in Ephesians 6:2. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee. That's the quality of your life, that you may have a quality of life, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. That's the quantity of life. He said, if you want your life to have quality and if you want your life to have quantity, then honor your parents. It's really simple. I think this proverbial statement is teaching us that if we want to live long and have a good life, then it starts with honoring mom and dad. We can't close a message like this without thinking of Jesus Christ, who was the greatest example in honoring his parents. We don't see a lot about Joseph in Jesus' adult years. Tradition, history tells us that he must have passed away because very little is said. But mom was still there. Remember Jesus, one of his last words on the cross as he was fixing to leave the earth? 33 years old. Still looking after mom. Honoring his mom. How did he honor her? He respected her. He was gracious to her. I think the ultimate picture we see is that he cared for her. Made sure she was taken care of. Listen to what the Bible says in John 19. I don't know if this is in your notes or not, but here's what the Bible says. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, behold thy son. I envision him directing his attention to John. Mom, your son is going to take care of you now. And then the verse goes on to say, and then he said to John the disciple, John, thy mother. Mom, your son. John, take care of mom. See to it that her needs are met. I love her. I want what's best for her. And notice what the verse says. And from that hour, the disciple took her unto his own home. Even on his deathbed, Jesus was honoring mom and dad. This is not true of Jesus, but can I just throw this out here? Don't wait till your or their deathbed to make a decision to honor mom and dad. Right now, regardless of how old you are, regardless of your upbringing, there is no exceptions. Honor thy father and thy mother.